Presenting
The Complete
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London.
As the third man.
Stand by.
We'll be on the air in 15 seconds, Mr. Welles.
Yes, I know.
Stand by, everybody.
Mercury Theater on the air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Hello, world. Welcome to The Complete Orson Welles, brought to you by Duane Oldtime Radio. This podcast will feature various classic radio programs ranging mostly from 1936 to 1952 that Orson either produced and directed, was featured on, or starred as a guest. Thank you for your support. Hope you enjoy The Genius of Mr. Welles.
This is a one-off episode. Or I don't know anything about the series, but the series, if it was a series, was titled The Free Company. And this one is, the drama is titled His Honor, the Mayor. Orson Welles wrote and produced this one episode for them. And anyway, this was done pre-Citizen Kane, so it stars some of the Mercury Theater actors. April 5th, 1941.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Free Company.
What avail the plow or sail, or land or life, if freedom fail? This is James Boyd, chairman of the Free Company, speaking from New York. Today, the Free Company presents Orson Welles in his own play, His Honor, the Mayor. The Free Company is a group of writers, actors, and radio workers who've come together voluntarily to present a series of plays about our basic liberties. We're unpaid, unsponsored, and uncontrolled. Just a group of Americans saying what we believe about this country and about freedom, trying to say it by means of plays, just as the Bible parables or the anecdotes that Lincoln used to tell illustrate other truths by means of stories. Some of our plays deal with the whole subject of freedom, others with the different basic civil rights on which that freedom rests. Today, the theme is an ancient and fundamental democratic right, which will become clear to you as you listen to the play. This week's author is Orson Welles, and the cast is recruited from his own Mercury Theater. Most appear prominently in Mr. Welles' forthcoming motion picture, Citizen Kane, and are now to be seen on Broadway in the Mercury's new success, Native Son. We present His Honor the Mayor.
This story happened in a small town near the Mexican border. We'll call it Benton, because I never heard of any town by that name. Our hero, who's the mayor of the town, we'll call Nags, Bill Nags, because I don't know anybody called Bill Nags. Right here, I want to say that this broadcast isn't intended to be uplifting or inspirational. It hasn't any moral at the end of it or any message. You can draw your own conclusions, and I hope you do. I'd like to know what you think of Mayor Nag's problem, and if you think he solved it the right way. Maybe you'll say he didn't solve it at all. That's possible. Believe me, I'm not campaigning for Nag's re-election. He's a friend of mine, but I don't want to get mixed up in municipal politics, particularly in a town that's almost 2,000 miles away from my own. I'm just going to tell you what happened.
Bill. Time to get up. I'm
not going to tell you again.
Let me sleep another half hour.
No, sir.
Just one little half hour more?
I know why you don't want to get up today. Hear me, Bill? It's always the same. When you're in trouble and don't want to face it, you try to stay in bed.
If I had troubles, I'd stay awake. When I finally do drop off, I'd like to take advantage of it. I don't know why you always assume that my motives are mean and petty and niggling.
What does niggling mean?
Picayune.
What does that mean?
Niggling. Niggling, picayune. Picayune, niggling. Don't sound like English.
Are you awake now?
The Nags are a good couple, and although neither of them believes it, each has a better opinion of the other than is usual in marriages as old as theirs. They have better reasons than most, maybe. Anyway, they think they have, which is the best reason of all. Mrs. Nags looks a little older than she ought to because her life hasn't been easy. But she wears the smartest clothes she can afford, which isn't true of most of the other ladies in town, and doesn't especially enhance her popularity. Her husband, the mayor, looks younger than his years and his job, not because he doesn't work as hard as anybody in the state. His features just never grew up with the rest of him, and he stands very straight.
This morning I want flapjacks. Hey, Mary?
Yes, Bill?
I don't care how fat I get. Today I want flapjacks and maple syrup.
Today you shall have them.
Thanks.
Take my word for it, when responsibilities get to be almost unendurable, a man on a diet takes to his sugars and starches as an addict retreats to his opium pipe or a drunkard to his bottle. Diet takes to his sugars and starches as an addict retreats to his opium pipe or a drunkard to his bottle. On this particular day, Mayor Nags ate three helpings of Mrs. Nags' flapjacks, two nut bars before a lunch, which included potatoes, among other forbidden fruits like bread and butter and custard pie. I won't reveal the full catalog of what His Honor consumed during the course of that day, but by the time he got to bed, claiming to Mrs. Nags that he'd lost 10 years of his life, she says he'd gained at least 5 pounds.
Morning, Bill.
Hello, Jerry.
What'll it be?
Fill her up.
Okay, Bill. What are you aiming to do about the meeting tonight, Bill? The White Crusaders rally.
Don't know yet.
Hadn't you ought to make up your mind, Bill?
Reckon so. What you think about it, Jerry?
Well, as conditions in this town's got to be changed. You know that, Bill.
Reckon so. Which conditions?
These here Reds.
You mean communists?
Yeah.
We only got one communist in town, Jerry. Joe Enochin. He can't hurt anybody. He's 87 years old. Besides, there's nothing illegal about being a communist.
That's what you say, Bill.
That's what I say. There's no law in this country against having opinions.
What about them labor organizers that come into town? They're Reds, ain't they?
I don't think so. They're just trying to get the hands over at the factory to form a union.
Yeah. Unions.
Well, if the hands get paid more for their work, they're going to spend more. Maybe buy some new tires for their cars from you. Maybe buy some new cars. Would you object to that?
Unions is what's wrecking this country.
Check my oil.
Holding up the fence.
Heap of money in them big defense orders. Don't you guess part of it belongs to labor?
Your oil's all right.
What you mad at, Jerry? Bet you don't know. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
You going to that meeting tonight?
Sure am.
I'll see you there.
On his way to work, Mayor Nags always looks in at the Carters after he's been to Jerry's garage. It's right next to the city hall. Carter's Drugs and Stationery.
Morning, Mrs. Carter.
Morning, Mr. Nags. Here's your papers. My, Can't see how you ever get around to reading all them papers, Mr. Nags.
I get them from my conscience.
Your conscience?
Just take them all up and put them on my desk so as I can look at the words on the mastheads during the course of the day. All them big words like Dallas and Houston and Denver and Chicago, Seattle and New York. Makes me think I keep up with the world. Of course I don't.
Mr. Nags.
Hmm?
What you going to do about that Crusaders rally?
Mrs. Carter, what should I do?
You oughtn't to let him hold it. It's going to make trouble. Them white Crusaders hanged a Mexican in effigy last week.
Yeah, with a sign on him that said I tried to vote.
No telling what they'll do after this meeting. They may get after some real live Mexicans. You can't tell, Mr. Nags. You know what the boys is like when they get excited.
Yes, I know.
Of course, everybody agrees we mustn't let them Mexicans get the vote, but still...
Why not?
Why not what?
Why shouldn't the Mexicans vote, same as we do?
Oh, Mr. Nags, you know just as well as I do.
I'd like to hear your reasons.
Well, there's so many of them. Why, if we let the Mexicans vote, they'd run the whole town.
Mrs. Carter, didn't folks ever tell you about all that federal money that I threw away on the Mexicans for their schools and whatnot? Naturally, I want the poll tax abolished so they'll vote for me.
Mr. Nags, you're joking.
Haven't you heard that if the Mexicans could afford to vote, they'd make me a dictator?
You'd be a wonderful president. I'd like to see you in the White House, Mr. Nags. I really would. But not if we got to get rid of the poll tax to do it.
Of course, I'm biased, Mrs. Carter. But haven't you ever heard this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people?
Sure thing, Mr. Nags. American people. Why, them Mexicans don't even speak English.
Now, we don't give them much reason to learn it. Got to go to work.
What's that for, Mr. Nags?
Give me a candy bar. Nuts in it.
Pearl Hylas is passionately in love with Mayor Nags. She is his secretary.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Morning, Colonel Eggenhorn.
Mr. Mayor.
Well? Well?
Just for a moment. May I have your private ear?
Come on into the office.
Your Honor.
Yes?
Lou Rudnick over the Sentinel's been trying to get you. He says it can't wait.
Put him on.
Yes, Your Honor. It's about the White Crusaders. He wants to know if you're going to let that meeting go on tonight. He wants a statement for the paper.
Get him on the phone.
Yes, Your Honor.
And don't call me Your Honor.
I'll get right to the point.
Well, thanks.
The White Crusaders, Mr. Mayor, you may not realize it, but I have considerable interest in that organization.
I know all about you, Colonel Eggenhorn.
Do you, indeed?
Yes, I do, indeed.
What do you know about me, Nags?
Well, I don't know how old you are or where you were born. You made $1 million on patent medicines before you moved into the county and built that big ranch. I know that. And from there on, I really know about you. You're supposed to be retired, and you keep pretty busy, Colonel. You bought up the old Dayton print shop, for instance. You turned out a lot of stuff from there. Bet you're right, most of it.
I write it all, Mr. Mayor. Do you mind?
Yes, I mind. I don't like that literature of yours going out all over the country with my town's postmark on it.
Your town?
I'm a citizen. Benton's my town. I work hard for it. I don't like it to be a return address for all that anti-Semitic garbage.
That's a loose term, Mr. Mayor.
What's a loose term? Garbage? Yeah, I agree with you.
No, anti-Semitic. The international Jew.
Mr. Rudnick on the phone, Your Honor.
Lou? Yeah? Yes, Lou. I know what it means. Fascism is just one word for it, a loose term. Nothing. Lou, you can print it in your paper that I can't stop it. I said I can't stop it. I know about refusing, revoking licenses. Just say I can't stop the meeting. Lou!
Hung up on you, didn't he? Hung right up.
Yeah.
Glad to see you're taking that stand, Mr. Mayor. I don't forget any favor.
Don't thank me.
I'll do more than thank you. By the way, here's a copy of The White Crusader, a little monthly publication of ours. Read it, Mr. Mayor. Keep an open mind. I think you're big enough to admit your mistakes. As for the crusade itself, our ranks are always open to men of your mettle.
And color?
Naturally.
How about my religion?
You're a Christian?
And maybe you forgot, Colonel. I'm a Catholic.
I had forgotten. Well, Mr. Naggs, we always manage to make exceptions.
Well, that's very nice of you, Colonel. But as far as I'm concerned, you...
For broadcasting purposes, I have to censor the rest of Mr. Naggs' remarks. Enough to say that these remarks were unanswerable and that Colonel Eggenhorn left the mayor's office very red in the face and in quite a hurry. The mayor spent the rest of the morning receiving committees and talking on the telephone. The subject was always the White Crusaders' rally. The first committee came from Benton College and was headed by Naggs' old friend Noble Cornflower, the president. Second was semi-officially from the Chamber of Commerce, and the third was sent by the American Legion. Everybody telephoned. Nobody wanted the Crusaders to hold their meeting.
Yes, Dr. Evers, I know what they stand for. I know. Well, we'll see. I said we'll see. Thanks for calling.
Mrs. Dewey on the other line, Your Honor.
I talked to her before.
She's calling again.
I've talked to everybody in town. Do I have to talk to them all twice?
What's funny, Your Honor?
I was thinking, that can't be a very big meeting tonight. Everybody's objected to it. There ain't nobody left to attend.
Your Honor...
I know, Mrs. Dewey, and don't call me Your Honor. Tell her I'm out to lunch, and that's where I am, darn it. Out to lunch.
Father Hatton and Mayor Naggs went to school together when they were kids. Now Father Hatton hears Mayor Naggs at confession every so often. They meet for lunch all the time. There was some coolness between them during the mayor's gambling reform a couple of months back when a fanatic, or at least tactless, member of the police under orders to clean up every game in town embarrassed one of the church's bingo socials. Nothing serious, though. Never any real difference of opinion.
Bill, I don't agree with you.
More coffee, Father.
Thanks.
I wish you did.
It isn't just that these white crusaders oppose the church. They're lined up against everything anybody could possibly mean by Christianity.
I know.
Worse than that, they've recruited every convenient branch of intolerance. They're anti-labor, anti-Semitic...
Anti-everything but themselves. Yeah, there's a dozen more little clubs here and there, like the White Crusaders. All those nuts are the same.
Those nuts. Bill, that's what they said in Germany about the Nazis a while ago when Adolf Hitler was still on the soapbox. Those nuts. Nobody thought those nuts could do any harm.
Germany was a young democracy. Don't forget it. Her republic was only a few years old. It lacked experience. We're the oldest democracy on the planet. We know our way around. Gosh, I got too much faith in America to think Colonel Eggenhorn or any reasonable facsimile could march in and start giving us orders. Look at the way our folks are rising up against this white crusade business right here in town.
Listen, Bill.
Folks just won't stand for it.
They won't if they can help it. People are decent and good at heart. They won't listen to lies unless you make them.
I'm not making them. Excuse me for shouting. Losing respect for cloth, Father.
Forget my cloth.
Well, darn it all, I'm not making anybody listen to lies. I'm just upholding the Bill of Rights.
Why do you think they're having this meeting?
What?
You heard me.
Yes, I heard you.
Let me tell you what you know. Benton has a factory that makes auto parts and ships them up north. Who owns the factory? Nobody in Benton. Who works in it?
Everybody in Benton that'll take the wages.
That's the whole point. Now, I don't care about unions, Bill. They're not my concern. But last week, a couple of organizers were beaten up in my parish. One of them takes communion in my church. I don't want that to happen again. And it's going to happen just as long as the white crusaders get their way. I warned you, I was going to tell you what you know. Well, here's something maybe you don't know. I've heard that some of my parishioners and a whole lot of our citizens are planning to visit that little meeting tonight.
What?
That is, if you allow it to be held.
What?
Don't keep saying what. You hear me perfectly well.
How do you know?
Sometimes a priest knows more about the world than you might think.
Yeah, sometimes he knows more about a town than the mayor himself.
Well?
Well?
I don't want you to have to call out deputies, Bill, or ask the governor for help. What I'd really hate would be for you to have to stop the right people from doing the wrong thing. Do you understand me?
I understand you. Waiter?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Get me another piece of pie.
Mayor Naggs is just about as stubborn as they come. You may have guessed that Father Hatton didn't convince him, but he worried him sorely because Mayor Naggs could see that everything the priest told him was true.
Sure it's true. So's the Bill of Rights.
What's that, Your Honor?
The Bill of Rights.
I didn't understand you.
You know what the Bill of Rights is, Pearl. Answer the telephone.
No, I don't, Your Honor.
Well, go to the public library and look it up.
All righty. Shall I make a transcript and bring it back to you?
Memorize it. Learn it by heart. Then go to the corner of Main Street and Central and recite it.
That's a scream.
Go on. Go out and find me 10 citizens like you that never heard of the Bill of Rights. Bring them back here, and I'll recite it.
You mean I get the afternoon off,
if you get out of here quick enough.
Gee, thanks. You better answer the telephone.
Hello, and don't call me Your Honor. No, 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 not you, Mrs. Dewey. Just a second, please. Hello? Just a minute. Just a minute.
Three more calls came in from Mrs. Dewey before the afternoon was over. But now most of the calls weren't complaints. Most of them were threats. Some political, some social, a lot of them the kind of threats Father Hatton was afraid of. These were all anonymous. By supper time, Bill Nags had listened to enough of them to know that things were serious. For the sake of the record, I must tell you that Pearl went to the public library after treating herself to a malted at Carter's and looked up the Bill of Rights. She didn't learn it, of course, but she read it all through, including the place where it says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance."
Hey! Joe Enoch!
What do you want?
Want your advice.
You won't take it.
Maybe I will. You never agree with anybody, Joe, and this time I don't either. What about the White Crusaders?
Don't let them congregate. Goodbye.
Hey! Joe Enochin!
What is it now?
You know, I thought you were the one man in town might agree with me.
Well, I don't agree with you.
Joe, I can't start interfering with the people's right to assemble.
They ain't people, they're fascists. Everybody else wants you to interfere, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Well, there's the people for you. Everybody else. Ever hear of the will of the people?
Ever hear of the Bill of Rights?
Now, where'd the Bill of Rights come from? The will of the people. Where'd the Constitution come from? It didn't come down from Mount Sinai, bub. God didn't write it. Listen. This country with its institutions belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it.
Naturally, you would advocate overthrowing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, Joe. Naturally, you would advocate overthrowing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, Joe. You're the town communist.
I didn't say that. Abe Lincoln said it. And I don't advocate overthrowing it any more than he did. I just believe in the will of the people. So did he. So should you. Don't set yourself up against the will of the people, Nags. You're their servant. They pay you to serve. Besides, I ain't a communist. I'm an anarchist.
Sit right down, Bill. Don't wash up unless you want to. There's creamed chicken and baked potatoes and hot bread.
Mary, have you seen today's Sentinel?
And chocolate cake for dessert.
Says I'm gonna lose my job.
And I sent out for some ice cream.
If I don't stop that meeting, I guess I will.
What do you want me to say, Bill?
If I don't keep my job, I'll never grow up to be Abraham Lincoln like you want me to be.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to tell me what to do.
You never asked me that before.
Well?
You'll never grow up to be Abraham Lincoln like I want you to be if you do something just to keep your job.
I'm never going to be Abraham Lincoln, honey. But I promise you it won't be because of that.
The White Crusaders rally was scheduled for 9 o'clock at Nicky's dance hall. Mary and Bill Nags arrived at 8:30.
Mr. Nags, the sheriff's been trying to get you. You didn't answer your phone.
I know I didn't. What's he want, Sam?
He wants to swear in some deputies.
Tell him to sit tight.
Where are you going?
To the meeting.
In there?
My own meeting. Right now, I'm going to greet my friend.
Oh, the Crusaders?
No, the ones that ain't. The ones that aren't, I should say. Sam, you stay with the car here and watch out for Mrs. Nag.
As I told you, this story hasn't any moral or any message of mine tied to it. It's about morals and messages, though, and I was serious when I said I hoped you'd draw your own conclusions. I don't insist that Mayor Nags did the right thing. I do believe the subject is worth conversation, and I'd like to hear your opinion of how he solved his problem. Also, I admitted earlier that he mightn't have solved it at all. By 9 o'clock, the White Crusaders had gathered. A lot of the members may have been too scared to come because there wasn't much of a crowd inside the hall. The crowd was outside.
Get away from that door, Nags!
If you don't break up that meeting, Nags, we will!
Let us set them, Turney!
Half the town was there at least. Central Street, which runs past the dance hall, was jammed so you couldn't move.
Go on, Nags! Get away!
Why?
Where are you going in?
You belong to the White Crusaders, Charlene. There's nothing to see in there. Just a couple of dozen anonymous citizens in fancy dress. There's nothing to hear. You know what they're talking about?
We know!
So do I. They're talking about scaring the Mexicans to keep them from voting for me. Talking about keeping unions out of the factory so the town don't get any more of that money from up north. Well, maybe that's all right. But here's something that ain't. They're talking about hating the Jews. We only got one Jewish family in the county. The Mankiewicz's. Anybody hate the Mankiewicz's? Anybody want to join the White Crusaders? No. We got a better club out here. Not so exclusive, but more fun. We're the Loyal Order of Fellow Men. We're supposed to love each other, you remember? The rules out here are easier to follow, and we didn't make them.
Oh, shut up, Bill. We're going.
What's that? You back there. Can't see you. What's your name? You got the floor. No further remarks? All right, the chair will resume.
Why don't you break up that meeting?
Because I'm holding one of my own. Friends, you all know perfectly well I'm demagoguing you. Sure, I'm demagoguing you, same as Colonel Eggenhorn in there is demagoguing the Crusaders. Only I ain't fomenting and inciting a riot. Just the reverse. I ain't kidding you. You know I'm just filibustering till that gang breaks up. I don't like what's going on in there any more than you do. Believe me, I like it less than most of you. You say this is a free country and you got a right to stop a meeting if you want to. I say it's a free country and anybody can hold a meeting. You say, who's the mayor to stand up against the whole town? Or I say, who's the town to stand up against the mayor it elected? As long as I'm in office, the laws are going to be obeyed. That's what I'm paid for. If you don't like me, elect somebody else. If you don't like the laws, change them. But don't start forbidding anybody the right to assemble. Democracy's a rare, precious thing. And once you start that, you finish democracy. Democracy guarantees freedom of assembly unconditionally to the worst lice that want it. If they don't get it, they'll go underground so as we can't see them. Let them thumb their noses at the stars and stripes, just as long as they don't touch it. Let them jeer at everything we're willing to die for. That's anybody's right, the right to jeer. The right to be what's called nowadays un-American. Like this White Crusaders rally, that's un-American, all right? But listen, if we break up that meeting, we're un-American. For keeps. A lot of you work in the factory and you want a union. How would you like it if I didn't let you hold a strike meeting? All of you have read the history books. You know what the right to assemble and worship God meant to most of those folks that first came here. The ones that couldn't pray the way they wanted to in the old country? Are you convinced? Maybe so, maybe no. Anyway, you're not going to break the law, are you? All right. Neither's the White Crusaders. Let them raise a hand against a living soul, and by glory, I promise you, the law's got them. Hello, Colonel Eggenhorn. Well, folks, the rally's over. You and your dirty shirts going home, Colonel?
I demand a police escort.
I don't guess you'll need it, Colonel.
Well, I think I do.
Well, I'm going to take a chance on it. Good night, Colonel. Folks, the Colonel and his boys are asking for trouble. Let's not give it to them.
The crowd gave way and let the Crusaders go home. They went meekly. There wasn't an illegal move.
Thanks, everybody. And if you don't like what I've done, please wait till election day. Meeting's adjourned.
Then the crowd broke up. Mayor Nags went back to where his wife was waiting for him in the car. And they drove home together.
Like his honor the mayor, then, let us stand fast by the right of lawful assembly. Let us say with that great fighter for freedom, Voltaire, I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Thus, one of our ancient, hard-won liberties will be made secure, and we, differing though we may at times among ourselves, we'll stand together on a principle to make sure that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This is Orson Welles. I just want to tell you who was in today's cast. Of course, they're Mercury people. Mayor Nags was played wonderfully, I think, by Ray Collins. Mrs. Nags was Agnes Morehead. Paul Stewart played Father Hatton. Erskine Sanford was Colonel Eggenhorn, and Everett Sloan was Jerry, and also Joe Enochin. All these ladies and gentlemen of the Mercury are featured in Citizen Kane and Native Son. The rest of the cast are equally distinguished and also ladies and gentlemen of the Mercury, and they remain, as does your producer, as always, obediently yours.
Copies of today's play, His Honor the Mayor, by Orson Welles, can be obtained by sending 10 cents to cover the cost of printing and mailing to the Free Company, Columbia Broadcasting System, New York. Next week, the Free Company presents an original play by Maxwell Anderson, leading American playwright, starring Paul Muni. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing.